Once upon a time there was a bush. He lived in a wild and desert place, remote and isolated. Life was not easy. At night it was freezing cold, but in the daytime it was baking, burning hot. And it was dry, dry as dust. There was many a time that the bush longed for a shower of rain, but there was very little rain in that place. And what there was, the wind snatched away almost before it fell. The soil was hard and nasty, unyielding and infertile. Life was a struggle. Get what you could, which wasn't much in that soil, and hope the animals didn't find you. There were desert rats that nibbled your bark and ate your seed if you didn't watch them. There were wandering goats and sheep, hungry, looking for food, anything, browsing leaves and twigs. And there was always the threat of locusts. There were stories about them, clouds of them, turning the sky black and blotting out the sun. There was no hiding anything from them. They'd strip you bare to the wood and leave you for dead. It was hard, all right, squeezing life out of the desert. It bred a flinty approach to life. You got all you could when you could, and you didn't give anything away. But there was a legend that things hadn't always been like that. The wind whispered that the Bush's family had once lived quite well, with fertile soil and good climate and rich harvests and happiness between plants and animals too. What the legend didn't say was how the decline had come. Some said that the climate had changed, others that animals had eaten too much. The Bush had his own theory. He reckoned that the ancient Bushes had been wastrels, not keeping hold of what they'd got. That's what he thought. Not that there was much time for thinking. Life was too hard for that, and thinking didn't do much good anyway. The Bush would have dismissed the legend as no more than the rustling of old leaves, if it hadn't been for something else. From where the Bush grew, he could see in the distance some trees. They had great tall trunks and wide-spreading crowns. They were fine and majestic. Their leaves were green, rich and lush, not like his, burned brown by the desert wind. And they had fruit, not just seeds. He knew they had fruit, even though they were so far away, because every now and then people came and picked it. Now, the Bush reckoned that it was very foolish to let that happen. His own family had been ruined, as he thought, by not keeping all they'd got. But the trees didn't seem to mind. When the wind came from that direction, the Bush could sense no feeling of sadness or resentment. It seemed more like happiness and deep satisfaction. There must have been a river over there, he thought to himself. Yes, that was it. They had their roots in a river. No wonder they were all green and lush. They had it all made, they did. He began to feel envious. If only he had his roots in water, it wasn't fair. Then, one day, the man came. The Bush saw him when he was still quite a long way off and watched him through the shimmering heat. He was looking for something, shading his eyes as he searched the landscape. The Bush wondered what he could possibly be wanting in such a godforsaken spot. Water, perhaps. Well, whatever it was, the man seemed to have seen it, because he suddenly began walking purposefully and quickly. And the Bush could see that he was going to pass quite close. He wondered what he should do. People could tread on you in the passing. But the man didn't pass the Bush. He stopped. He bent down, reached out a hand. The Bush tensed, but the man simply ran his hand over some of the twigs, and he laughed. "So there you are." "Me?" said the bush. "Yes, you," said the man. "You've been looking for me?" "Why," he was suspicious, "I heard you wanted to get your roots in the water."
"How did you hear that?" gasped the bush. "I never told anyone. I just thought it a bit."
The man laughed again. It was a lovely, deep, happy laugh. "Well, perhaps I heard it in the wind. But just let's say I know a bit about trees."
"Trees?" said the bush. "But I'm not a tree."
"You'd be a tree if you had your roots in the deeper water."
"A tree," said the bush, almost not believing, not daring to believe.
"Do you mean like one of those over there?"
"Not exactly like one of those. There are lots of different kinds of tree, but you'd be a tree all right."
"But do you really want your roots in the water?"
"Why have you come to ask me that?" cried the bush. "There's no water here,
unless you're going to bring it here, or unless you're going to take me over there to the river."
"There is no river over there," said the man.
"But there must be," said the bush. "Those green trees."
"They have their roots in the deeper water," said the man. "And you could too, here, just where you are." He went on, "If you send your roots down deep, you'll become green yourself, because you'll find the water that never fails."
"I haven't the strength for that," said the bush sadly. "It's all I can do to get the water there is in this barren place."
"I can make it possible for you," said the man. "The question is, do you want to?" He sounded insistent. All you could hear for a bit was the wind, as it played over the plain. And in truth, it didn't seem quite so burning as it had before the man came. The bush thought about his own hard struggle for life, and that legend of the past. Those sylvan memories seemed suddenly so vivid, and he found himself longing. He looked over to the trees. It wasn't shimmering so much, and he could see them clearly. He remembered their sweet smell of satisfaction at the fruit-picking times.
"Yes," he said. "Yes, I want the deeper water that never fails. Yes, please."
A smile lit up the man's face, and then he looked serious in his happiness.
"Then grow," he said, as if he were giving an order. "But grow down before you try to grow up."
Then he did something that would have terrified the bush just moments before. He produced a pair of garden clippers and reached down into the bush and cut off some of the branches. And when he had finished, the bush really did look a bit more like a tree. Small, but unmistakably a small tree. He began to put his roots down towards the deeper water he'd been told was there. Well, that's how one small bush became a tree, but the story isn't quite over yet. He did find, after all, that he had the strength to put his roots down to the deeper water. Perhaps not having quite so many branches to support helped. Or perhaps the water came up to meet him. But however it was, when he found the water, or it found him, he began to grow upwards, and his crown grew outwards as well. Soon he was much bigger than before, even though the man had cut off some of his branches. He noticed other things as well. He didn't feel the cold as much at night, and the sun became a friend. Even the burning wind, though it still blew wildly at times, even the wind didn't seem to turn his leaves as brown as before. And the man never seemed to be far away after that, Sometimes he cut off more branches, a bit of pruning here and there just to keep the tree in good shape. He grew to love and respect that man in a tree-ish sort of way. But it wasn't until much later that the tree noticed the real miracle happening. Becoming a tree and growing bigger was only part of it. First of all, he noticed he had a shadow. And then he saw that creatures of the desert were sometimes coming to rest in his shade. And birds were singing in his branches and nesting. And he had fruit. Fruit enough for the birds. Fruit enough for the man. And then other bushes got the message. And the man came, and they grew into trees. Some of them were the same as him, and some were different. And other trees came from all their seeds, and grew where nothing had grown in living memory. And a tree's memory is very, very long. The real miracle was that the desert was beginning to change. The barren waste was turning into rich forest. In it the air was still, even while the wind howled outside. The nights were warmer and the days were cooler, though the sun outside still made travellers faint. The forest was a haven of healing for all the world's creatures, a source of food and a place of beauty and peace, all because of the man and his deeper water.